entertainment.ie.
I love the way you say film.
Hello and welcome back to The Film Show. How are the guys today?
Not bad.
We're good.
Not bad.
Wow. It's mid to late July now.
It's so humid. How humid is it? It's so fucking humid.
It's very smoggy, isn't it?
It's muggy.
Very close.
It's close. That's it. It's close.
It's very close.
What?
So like country or something.
No, hang on a sec. That is, I'm going to put down my coffee here and I'm going to, we're going to have this out. Close is a catch-all term. Mm. That's not a country thing.
Don't give
me that shit there.
I don't know.
Is there a South Dublin term for...
Yeah, what is it? What is it? It's perspiring.
Probably muggy, actually.
Yeah, muggy. Yeah, that's so muggy.
But in fairness, it is muggy today. It is.
It's muggy, it's close. It's warm.
I love both. All right, I'm low on small talk today, so I'm just going to go in.
Let's just move it on there. Yeah, yeah. We've got the requisite
banter. Films.
Yeah.
Movie news.
Movie news.
Are you guys enjoying the film industry this year?
Actually, we recently just did our best and worst movies of 2019. You can catch them on entertainment.ie now.
So seamless.
That is
so
good.
Yeah, and actually I don't know if you saw, but I shared my worst movies of 2019 over the weekend and I was getting a bit of shtick once again.
Oh.
But in fairness, I'm not going to lie, I did this slightly on purpose because I knew it would warrant a reaction because a few months ago...
You clickbait artist.
You're such a bullshitter. Wait for this.
A few months ago, a movie called The Dirt came out on Netflix, which I stand by is a terrible, terrible movie. Not just on the basis that it's completely disgusting and sexist. It's also terribly cast. It's so try hard that it's pathetic. Its dialogue is embarrassing to listen to. It is. Oh, also, it's a movie about a music band and they don't actually play music in that many scenes, probably because of budgetary constraints. But it's like, why did they make this movie?
What's anyway. The controversy?
No, well, there's no controversy.
Oh,
you
the
loved
controversy
it.
Oh, no. Is that I hated it, but there are apparently diehard Motley Crue fans out there.
I'm not familiar with it at all.
Yeah, it was on the start.
Yeah, no, it was basically, you can totally tell that like Netflix bought this film because like Bohemian Rhapsody is doing really well.
Yeah.
And Rocketman is doing really well. We need something like that. Buy this one. And
we've talked about this on the show, yeah.
Yeah, that there was literally like algorithm decided that they needed a music biopic and they bought The Dirt. And like, I've watched The Dirt.
Yeah.
And it is muck. It is absolutely muck. But what I found hilarious, what I really found hilarious was that you posted your original review for The Dirt over the weekend.
Oh, well, over the weekend.
Oh, sorry, it was Friday.
So it was the top 10 worst.
Yes.
And I put it number one.
Oh, my God.
Kind of half Spoiler. Because I believe it. No, yeah. I do believe it. I do believe it's the worst.
But I remember
but
you were
also,
kind of.
Also, I was kind of like, this is totally going to get a reaction. And lo and behold,
what
are you talking about? The Dirt is a great movie. Motley Crue, go on forever and ever. Blah,
people
blah, blah.
Motley Crue.
First of all, I didn't know Motley Crue had that big of a fan base that they're out here like...
In Dublin
and in Ireland. Like trawling comments on like Irish entertainment websites defending the honour of the
Lads director. Come out of the woodwork from every corner of this nation
totally
for everything like
but
that.
Some people were saying it's really funny. I'm like, are you laughing at it because it's
so
not,
shit
it's
like,
so crap
yeah.
I don't know I don't
can you
get
give us
this
a teaser of what
it.
Some other were made that list
Dark Phoenix was definitely on there Brightburn The Queen's Corgi
oh my god I didn't see
The
it.
Silence
did you guys have to go see it
no I didn't.
I saw it it was oh my gosh your tweet by the way over the weekend was kind of half true I'm not going to lie,
go
it
on,
is so British.
Basically what I said was that if you're Irish and you paid money to see the Queen's Corgi, you're a traitor to your people and you deserve to be haunted by the ghost of Padraig Pearse and Cathal Brugha. And
a
let
couple
me tell
of
it,
people actually thought you were being serious.
I kind of was. I was kind of like, you're kind of like, I mean, that film is so British and it's about the Queen. And if you're Irish and you paid money for that, you need to have a look in the mirror. Like, you know that kind of way? Like you kind of
I'm
need,
biting my tongue here.
Wait, would you go see it?
No, no, in how much I agree with you.
Oh, no, yeah, look, come on. We can all
in
be...
In a totally lighthearted way.
In a totally lighthearted way, but absolutely fuck this movie and everything it stands for. Come on, jump and turns, come out and fight me like a man. Show your wife how
did
you
I actually? Win.
How has this happened the last 2 weeks in a row that you guys have ended up singing? I don't know what's going on.
I meant to go straight into movie news, but before that, I'm going to tell you about... Wait, did I already mention about how I finally showed my partner the Wind That Shakes the Barley?
Oh, right, yeah.
I've been meaning to get her to see it for so long.
Right.
And mild spoilers for The Wind That Shakes the Barley ahead. Not for...
Well, it's based on, like, historical facts and stuff.
And it wasn't a very fun War of Independence.
Not at all.
But I kind of thought it was just like this, like, really good patriotic film, you know, with like really good like
actors,
great performances,
classic like ad hocs or ad libby kind of style, But it opens with the Black and Tans arriving at that house, and you know, beating that guy to death, and Julie was really hungover, and was like, oh no. And then I just leaned in and went, don't worry, this is as bad as it gets.
Oh my God.
And I completely forgot how bad.
That was such a lie, Owen.
Oh my God.
It gets so bad. It goes like, I remember it having some like highs and lows, but like the comedy bit is like
there
the judicial court where that landlord is getting flipped like, away.
I know.
First of all, that poor woman, like, she was clearly hung over and you made her watch the window.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, like...
I thought you meant the woman in the... Micheál O'Sullivan's mother. That poor woman.
But, like, no, I meant it as in, like, yeah, your girlfriend, Julie, but, like, that's like, you know, like, we've talked about this before, about worst date movies we've ever been on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, for a first date movie, I watched The Pianist.
Oh my God.
With Adrian Brody. And yours was Last Tango in Paris.
Oh, that wasn't a first date now, but it was a worst date one.
Yeah.
Those are both
Last Tango in Paris and The Pianist. Like, holy shit.
I'd seen Last Tango in Paris on all these, like, you know, sexiest movies list. So I thought it would be like kind of, you know, kooky or fun or something. And then I watch it and I'm like, this is so messed up. Like, he's anally raping her with butter. What the hell is this?
Hasn't that director, I don't want to say arrested, but did he die in disgrace
Bernardo
recently?
Yeah.
Well, all this stuff came out afterwards that like Maria Shriver wasn't
actually
asked
consent
for, like,
to it.
Yeah.
She didn't give consent for a bunch of stuff.
And that her reaction was genuine and stuff like
Yeah.
It was like, it's,
which
yeah.
is really messed up.
Yeah,
so that really. Actually makes the movie even worse.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird movie.
Which reminds me, we've got...
Oh my God, that's got to be the worst segue ever for going from...
No,
the...
that's not true. There's been worse.
There's been worse.
I'm really not getting better.
Oh my God.
I should have just said, end that.
And let's move on and just cracked on.
In other miserable news, Samuel L. Jackson is joining the Saw franchise.
This is interesting.
Yeah,
I had no idea it was due a reboot.
What's crazy about this is that, you know how you get a bit of movie news, like someone's rebooting this or someone's making this.
Yeah.
Usually you don't, either it goes to nothing actually becomes of it, or it takes like a couple of years for it actually to take off. This news was announced that Chris Rock had plans to reboot the Saw franchise a month ago.
Yeah.
And literally this week it started shooting. Which is it's unheard of.
That's
isn't
really
it,
unheard of. Yeah. Usually it's the kind of thing where it's like, oh, you know, they've announced plans to reboot such and such. And it's like, yeah, I'll believe it.
You hear about the meetings or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You hear about the meetings or like, oh, they're trying to talk to such and such about it. And oh, they want it to look like this. And oh, we're going to do this, that, and the other. And then it's usually 6 months to a year before you actually hear anything about it.
And it's usually, that never happened.
And you know, 5 of the 10 people that were initially announced for it are now replaced by somebody else cheaper. Or
yeah.
This, on the other hand, like, yeah, like, we the story came in a month ago and now they're filming it. Like,
Do you put that down to star power, or
I think
him
it's
keeping
star power.
I think it's
tight
star,
lips or
and
what,
maybe like? It's just like Chris Rock was just like, yeah, I want to do this. Let's get it going. Because my understanding is like he like co-wrote the story. He's going to be a producer on it and everything. Oh, okay. And it's kind of an interesting new take. Now, they are keeping very tight-lipped about the plot details. But my understanding is Chris Rock is playing this kind of cop in it. And then Samuel L. Jackson is playing his dad, which should be really interesting. And then also in the cast is, I think his name is Max Minghella.
Oh, Max Minghella.
Minghella, yeah.
Yeah,
the guy from The Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale. Yeah. And he was in Social Network.
Yeah, that's right.
And his father
yeah.
is the famous director Anthony Minghella, who did The
oh,
English
really?
Patient.
There you go.
Which is one of my favorite films. I really love The English Patient.
And they've got the director who did Saw's 2-4. Back doing it. So yeah, and I think that there are like, you know, names who've been like kind of in and out of the franchise, or there's yeah. like writers and producers and stuff like that. So this looks like it's legit, yeah, happening. And the
do you think
scheduled
they'll
release date.
Like do a tangent on how it's been? Like, will it be more about his reactions to it? Is he playing it straight?
Or I have
is
no
he,
idea. Or is it going to be a kind of like, you know, what they did with the new Halloween film, that it's
soft
kind
reboot.
Of almost, yeah, a yeah. soft reboot that's almost like a sequel. So I don't know. They've been, like I said, they're being tight-lipped about it.
I think if it's Samuel L. Jackson, it's not going to be.
It's not
going to
be terribly
dark
serious.
As, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
If he's playing his dad, is it just people reacting to Jigsaw in a more?
I don't know, because I mean, like there was a film out a couple of years ago. I think it was like 2 years ago, and it was meant to be a prequel to the Saw franchise.
Wasn't that called Jigsaw?
Jigsaw, yeah, exactly. Jigsaw, and they were kind of doing it in a sort of like. Oh, you know, this is a soft reboot and blah, 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 blah. And it's not as kind of ridiculous as the previous
yes.
ones, because it was like Saw 3D, you know.
Yeah, it got so crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. I don't know. I mean, like, I was never a big fan of the Saw franchise.
Do you like escape rooms?
Not really. Not really. Every time I'm in here, it's like, look, I can force this door open. I can put my foot through it and I can be out of here. Why do I need to go through this bullshit? Like, and it's gas because James W. Anderson, who's one of our film critics, he actually, when he's not doing this, he actually writes.
He like designs them.
He designs
which
them. He
so
actually
cool.
No,
yeah.
I did not know
yeah,
that.
If you, yeah, yeah. He actually,
what a gig.
Yeah, he actually writes and designs escape rooms. And we did one of them. What was that one he did?
Oh, it was like, oh, I forget the name of it, but it had this kind of 1920s setting or
kind
something.
Of vibe.
It was good fun.
But yeah. The whole time, and I got handcuffed as well. That was the other
all right.
Thing. Yeah. All right, yeah.
I've no follow-up.
But yeah, I don't know. Escape rooms. No, I hate escape rooms. I think they suck balls. I hate them. I hate escape rooms. How do you feel about them?
I just feel like Saw is just escape rooms, like...
Didn't they have a horror movie earlier this year called Escape Room?
They
that was
did.
Kind of playing off the Saw kind of.
And of course, you famously did the Escape Room for Glass promotional Escape Room.
And you got all scared and started screaming.
We did terrible. Our team did terribly for that. It was good fun.
But
we
for
did
any
not
movie
win
houses listening, Escape Room with themed actors
Please.
Are inherently. Cringe.
I did find it good crack. The only thing that freaked me out was when he went from like the scientist, and we knew it was going to happen that he was going to lock us up. But then when we came out, he was like all possessed and stuff. But we were doing so terribly that he had to be possessed. But then also like call out hints. So he was like, try the key.
Oh my god!
So embarrassing.
That is so cringe.
That's one of my favorite things. Like. If you go to like the London Dungeon, or Dublin has one there where it's like
the vaults,
they have to get certain things across. So it's like, do not touch ye old staff under any circumstances, please.
Please observe the exit lights.
Phone calls will not be tolerated. Anyway,
the thing that always gets me about those, and this is a final point, but the thing that always gets me about those guys is that like they probably did a lot of training.
They probably failed Thespians. Actors.
That's
know?
What I was going to
yeah,
say.
Yeah.
But they did, like, they studied theater.
Or actors having a bloody blast.
Maybe they are having a great time.
To
maybe
be
they
Jack the
great
Ripper.
Time.
Maybe they met their, you know, last love, you know, in an escape room or something.
But, yeah, I don't know. Just
it's like if an actor goes to prison, they have to go to. The London Dungeon.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. That's I don't know, just those actors always make me feel a little bit sad. I know, that's
speaking
terrible.
Of which,
speaking
Ryan
of
Reynolds
actors.
Has just joined the cast of The Rock's Netflix movie Red Notice.
Yeah, now this is like, I think this is kind of interesting, right? Because, you know, Okay. How do I say this diplomatically?
Oh, God.
Netflix movies usually suck ass. Mm-hmm. And normally if a film ends up on Netflix as a Netflix original, it's like, oh, that's not going to be good.
Oh, my God. That's so true. I never joined the dots.
Hey, that's not fair. Netflix have had some great movies.
Give me an example.
Okja. And I know you didn't like it, but I loved, whatchamacallit, Alejandro, what's his name?
Roma.
Thing, Roma. Yes.
Yeah.
And I loved Roma.
Yeah.
And Gerald's Game, you love. And
I did.
I saw that a few months ago. That's excellent.
Yes. And Annihilation as well.
So Annihilation, yes.
But I think you will.
Annihilation, by the way, was a similar case in that it was bought.
Yes.
So just pointing out.
No, that's
so
fair.
So this was originally a Universal
this
property.
This was originally yes. Universal. Yeah. And it's the same director, actually, that worked with Dwayne Johnson on Central Intelligence and Skyscraper, which I think were also Universal.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's going
to
be
there's obviously
that.
Some kind of deal there. Oh, yeah. I mean, Skyscraper was okay. I kind of wish they'd gone a bit more camp with it.
Yeah. It was diehard.
It took itself too seriously, you know?
Yeah,
it should have
really
had a bit more fun.
I just couldn't get over that whole thing about, did you see all the people who did the work?
They did the maths on the jump.
The trajectory of that jump.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know,
there's a growing market for this kind of
film.
Oh,
God, completely.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like people.
But it is funny that it's an action movie that's ended on Netflix. So I'm wondering how that's going to work.
Yeah, and there was a story going around last weekend that apparently Netflix were essentially putting the kibosh on spending huge amounts of money on buying films because there was that film that was out last year called Triple Frontier. Remember with Ben Affleck? And
I quite like that.
I did too. Yeah. I did too. But apparently it didn't, because Netflix don't release their viewing figures.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They only keep it by internal metrics and they sort of have a cost versus, as in they kind of, obviously because they don't have a box office, but how they kind of calculate it is, okay, how many people.
Money in versus.
Exactly, money in versus how many new subscribers versus how many people actually watch this film, etc., etc., etc. And they basically, the determination was that...
Is this leaked then, or...
It was, it was sort
word
of like...
on the street?
Yeah, word on the street, kind of like internal documents. I didn't fire it, that was the chair, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, kind of internal documents leaked and blah, blah, blah. But then Netflix came out and said, no, we're not changing any of our strategy. This story is false.
Yeah.
But... there has been that shift of like they've stopped buying as much anymore. They're not buying.
It's really interesting because like surely no, it's no longer completely tied to the quality of a movie. Maybe it never was, but it's more about star power.
Yeah.
Mm.
And usually worse movies are more watchable.
Correct.
For
the
average person. I
totally.
Know.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
Definitely like, they seem to be putting out, I've noticed, a lot of romantic comedies and a lot of kind of teen dramedy type of things. And actually, speaking of the movies that they're investing in, I don't know if you saw this, but they actually bought another Noah Centineo movie from like 2 years ago called Swiped, which I saw the trailer for, and it looks like kind of one of those like crappy student movies. I watched the trailer for it and I was like, my God, this looks unwatchable, but like people will search Noah Centineo and it'll get watched.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I think the fact that like, you know, this ending up on Netflix, it's not a, I don't know, like it's one of those things where when I heard like, oh, Netflix bought this film and that is, it's gone off the Universal slate, I was like, oh, that's not a good sign. And it doesn't even matter if The Rock is in it or Ryan Reynolds is in it.
But at the same time, Ryan Reynolds is also doing, isn't he doing that Michael Bay movie as well that's going to Netflix? So that's kind of a sign that obviously these actors do believe in it, you know, especially if Ryan Reynolds is coming aboard this film.
Surely
I assume
everyone
that
believes
since
in it, at this
it was
stage,
bought
on
Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
yeah, I don't know. I just, I mean, I'll probably end up watching this. But like the thing, but it's that thing of like when you're watching Netflix, I don't know how you feel, but unless it really grabs your attention, you have your phone out.
Yeah,
you're,
of course.
Just,
yeah.
You're just you're kind of watching it kind of like intermittently. Like.
And actually it's hard, you know, it's easy when you're on a film podcast to come at it from a like, you know,
B is
ivory
academic,
tower
academic kind of
but
almost. Yeah.
We all do it. I watch those films as much as anyone, and like
I love the romantic comedies. I love
yeah.
Them.
Well,
Although
the backing of this is that Murder Mystery was the biggest box office Netflix ever had.
Isn't that mad?
Most watched.
I couldn't, but I actually can't. I can't watch Adam Sandler anymore. I mean, like I watched. I think the shortest time I've been able to watch a film without until I turned it off was Jack and Jill. I don't think I made it 5 minutes and I had to turn it off. Christ. I was like, I can't. I what can't
was his
do
other
it.
One was Switch came out around the same time.
Oh, yeah. Click.
Or Click. Click.
I liked Click.
What about, was it Remember the Zoltan or something?
Don't mess with the Zoltan.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch that. No. Yeah, no.
It's like, it really is that soap.
It's remarkable, yeah.
Isn't
it's
it?
Such a shame because I love The Wedding Singer and I love 51st Dates.
Yeah.
But like,
Happy Madison is brilliant.
Oh, we can sit here and do that all day
Gilmore,
long.
Sorry.
What, Punch
Gilmore,
Drunk Love and stuff.
Yeah.
But, it's a choice. It's a money-making choice. No, I thought
you meant watching Adam Sandler as a choice.
No. It kind of is.
I swear to God, like Adam Sandler, oh yeah, you're absolutely right. He fucking made, he was like, I want the money. I don't give a shit about artistic credit. And like, what's gas
that,
is,
well, he did that contract with Netflix, right? Yeah. That's why he has so many Netflix movies. Yeah. So, I mean, like, he was kind of jumped the gun ahead of everyone else, but he ended up, you know, and now it's the most profitable movie on Netflix. So, obviously, it worked.
Yeah. It worked completely. But, like, what's gas as well, I find, is that, like, you know, Adam Sandler, like, remember when he did Funny People, the Judd Apatow one, and... Like
no.
he did this Judd Apatow film.
No, I remember
film.
It.
Yeah.
I just choose not to.
But in that film, he was basically playing this kind of approximation of himself. And it was like, you know, he was this comedian, kind of lost his way, took the money. And now he was kind of like going back to doing stand-up again and trying to find himself. And this and that. And I was like, wow, shit. Adam Sandler, he's going to, cool. He's going to go back and he's going to do interesting stuff.
Well, he did that Netflix stand-up special as
and,
well.
Yeah, and that was really good, but like, then he's doing...
He can have it both ways.
Clearly, because then he does like, you know, that what was that thing? The sixth, the mysterious sixth. The,
oh, yeah, the kind the, of...
Was it a
Magnificent Seven?
Whatever
it was called. Yeah, that, and then he does...
People want bland.
People want bland.
There's a reason water is the most popular drink. Reason...
Well, also, that
rice is probably
living,
the most popular,
you know?
Food, maybe.
Well... Like
Dee, China. You've actually just named all of Dee's favorite things because Dee would literally. This is true. This is deadly serious. This is a word. This is 100% serious. For one of Dee's birthdays, we brought her in a plain roll with nothing on it.
There were actually candles.
With candles on it, and she ate it, and she just ate it plain.
I was really happy. It was like the first time I've been able to eat all of my own birthday cake.
Yeah,
delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, like literally just like plain rice, and was like, "Hey, Dee, do you want some, you know, butter on that?" Yeah. Nope, I'm fine.
It's already the best flavor.
No, in fairness,
plain.
I do usually have butter on my roll. I do prefer butter on my roll. It's just a matter of like, don't.
I'm going to drop a little bit of, and I hope you don't. You're going bright red. Well, okay, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
Because, but it's usually because. Oh, is it my hungover thing?
Yeah, Dee's hungover thing.
Yay!
Yeah.
I want to know.
All right,
as
okay.
Do our listeners.
This is brilliant. When Dee's,
I don't actually go to rolls anymore for being hungover. But the thing is, the first time I did it, no, because I've realized it doesn't work. I need like. Fatty food.
Wait, so your
anyway,
hangover cure was a plain
so it was it was
yes.
like but
bread.
It wasn't just a plain, it was like a Vienna loaf and I was having it like out of the bag just like crouched over and Brian and Mike looked over and they were like, you look like a babushka with your loaf of bread.
It was hilarious. Like she,
all I needed was a scarf on my head.
you're so full of shit by the way. She came in and she was trying to maintain and she was all like, oh fine, yeah. I was like, you're out last night, weren't you? Yeah, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. I stayed out a little bit late, but I'm fine. And then like,
out comes this big
bread, and she's just like leaned over.
Don't make it sound like I took it out of my bag. I went downstairs and bought it like
bought
a
it.
Normal hungover person.
Yeah, and came in with it under the shoulder, and she was just sat at her desk quietly just.
This is just getting more and more exaggerated. This is ridiculous. Like next thing he'll be like, and then she had her cane at the side. She was limping in.
She brought her own butter knife.
Yeah, her flick knife.
But I love that. Yeah, you've presented this so fragilely. It's like, do you mind if I tell people the story that Dee eats bread,
like raw bread? I'm very sorry, but
the last word on this, which I'm going to have, is that.
What's your go to hungover food?
Actually,
we're getting on, guys. Movies.
Jambon.
Yeah.
Best hangover food you've ever seen in a film.
Ooh. I'm
trying to think of a good hangover.
I always think that it's gross whatever they're eating when they're hungover in movies.
I'm always delighted for them.
Because it's usually for comedic purposes. You know, they're having like a burger and the mustard is all over them,
and
or
they've got
something.
Sunglasses on.
They've got sunglasses. Yeah, it just looks kind of gross.
Oh, is there a Lebowski hungover breakfast? They go to the diner.
I think so.
I don't know. But yeah, no, the last word was that I was in the queue for a deli roll and the guy in front of me was like kind of scrawny dub, and he asked for a chicken fillet roll, no sauce, and could you scratch out the center so that it was just
like the bread shell.
Plain, not spicy.
That is weirder than my thing. You have
That's
to admit.
That's a lot weirder. That is weird.
What? You can have a deli roll anyway. You wouldn't choose.
Why would you
plain
want
chicken hollowed out?
But hollowed out is like, I don't know.
I don't get that. It's weird. That's odd.
It takes up space.
I get that it takes up space, but like, I don't even like.
That defeats the purpose of the bread.
Yeah.
That's basically removing
the
bread.
Shell.
What do you not want the chicken? Like, that's the best part.
Please tweet in your best roll, deli roll, or the best roll you've ever seen in a film.
I mean, I did love the sandwiches that they had in When Harry Met Sally. I will say that. The sandwiches.
Okay,
that
I was hoping to go there in New York, actually, Katz's Delicatessen, but it's way out of the way. So
stop that right now.
What? Did I
say
it wrong?
That word again. Say the word delicatessen.
Deli.
Say it again.
No.
Did you hear that?
I really did.
Guys, we've done enough slagging
I'm sorry.
Especially
rewind
given
your podcast.
Especially given you took my jab earlier today. You're on thin ice as We're not going to get into
this.
Oh, I had a good chance for a segue earlier.
I know. I was just thinking you missed your segue.
The Big Lebowski sequel is finally coming.
Next year. Is this okay? But right
so
now,
remember, you've been following up on this for years and years. And like the last bit of news I could find on entertainment.ie, which was the Big Lebowski sequel is finally happening, was, I swear to God, from 2016.
Oh my God, of course. Yeah.
Which is hilarious. So filming for this film actually happened back in 2016. It was all completed and everything.
Wow, and that's a bad sign.
I know, yes. But what they've done is, what they've blamed it on essentially is the editing. But apparently the film is properly going to come out now. It's going to follow Jesus Quintana.
Do not mess with the Jesus.
Yeah,
exactly. Who plays? And actually, they've retitled the film. So it was called Going Places and now it's called The Jesus Role. So obviously, you know. Factoring in the fact that it follows this character now instead, and I suppose
is Liam going to still be in it as well?
His bowling buddy. Yeah, that
me and Liam.
Yeah, we're gonna fuck you up.
I don't know, because like, who was he played by? I'm trying to remember now.
I think he was a non-actor guy.
Yeah, had the look of a non-actor. Like, even the bit when
Jesus and Liam.
But even the bit when he was holding him back, like you could totally tell that he was not an actor at all. Yeah. And you could see like
they've got that kind of vacant look,
that blank look of like I'm just doing the part that I'm supposed
That's
to do.
That's just Liam.
Oh, I love Liam.
Sorry, go on.
But it's gonna have Bobby Cannavale and Audrey Tautou in it, and apparently the two of them and John Turturro are going to be the leads, who are three misfits who start off having this sexual chemistry, but then it turns into some kind of weird love triangle. I don't understand it exactly, but then they go on the run from a hairdresser with a gun. So
who
that's
plays
the
hairdresser?
I don't know.
Oh.
It could be John Hamm though, because John Hamm has also been announced in the cast. Pete Davidson. So yeah, we'll have to see.
Susan
I hope
Sarandon
it's not
well.
Pete Davidson. That'd be awful.
Yeah,
that'd be
know.
Weird. Oh, Susan Sarandon's in it
good.
Too.
He's fantastic in comedy roles.
He's so funny, and I was actually watching this thing with him the other day. I think it was like one of the live shows for SNL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or no, not for SNL, sorry, for 30 Rock. And it was like a flashback scene. It was him and Alec Baldwin when they were newscasters. And it was like Tina Fey was playing this roving reporter and he was pretending to be the 70s newscaster guy.
Oh,
like,
brilliant.
He was like, honey, you've got a dynamite shape, but I need you to go find an adult. Is there a man or a policeman there who can tell us what's going on? So it's brilliant.
He does the exact same thing in the Netflix version of Wet Hot American Summer, where he plays the Falcon.
Yeah,
that sounds really similar to, I was just thinking, Bad Times at the El Royale. That actually sounds like a line that could be out of that movie.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
That's mad.
It's the Jesus film is actually, it's based on a French comedy from What is it called?
Jesus.
No, yeah, Jesus. Not sorry, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. What he says to Jesus.
Jesus.
The oh,
Jesus.
Does he?
Yeah, he says, nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Well, it's incorrect.
Well, anyway, it's important to say before we go further that it's Turturro writing and directing it himself.
Yeah, that's true.
With
yeah.
the blessing of the Coen brothers, as opposed yes. to them having any involvement.
Yeah.
Or, well, I don't know, what are they?
No, no, they have no involvement. But apparently they gave.
It must
him,
just be tonally. It's.
I think they kind of gave him the permission to use the character because obviously, like, they wrote the Big Lebowski. Yeah. But apparently, what I was going to say was the whatever it's called, Going Places or Jesus or whatever
the
it's called.
Jesus Rolls.
The Jesus Rolls. It's based on a French comedy from the 70s that starred Gérard Depardieu.
Ooh.
And I read the synopsis of it, and it is super. Weird
oh.
and kind of like oh that's really
but like
rapey.
Coen brothers weird,
oh
or?
No
oh, like oh I remember
we were talking about it in the WhatsApp group
there was I think racy was a word that I heard don't do that
sorry.
That's gross he just put a pen up his nose
sorry
ew
sorry but yeah no it's very racy yeah it's very like I like I'm not surprised this took ages
it's not what you said the first time
rapey racy whatever I don't know it's just I
no
like,
that's
I,
just the word I read around it
yeah no but I read the when I read I remember reading the synopsis of the movie this was based on I forget
it
the
follows
name.
A trio of misfits whose dynamic yeah. evolves from being sexually charged into a love story
yeah it's just it's yeah I'm not surprised it took so long for it to come to fruition
I really like Bobby Cannavale
me too yeah.
Ever he's, since Boardwalk Empire,
fantastic actor. Yeah, and even
Jasmine,
you trust Turturro to cast well himself.
Definitely.
Anyway, he seems like a really solid thespian.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, John Turturro. Like, he's done tons of like Broadway theater. Like, he's a really good. And like that.
Though he also did the Transformers movies.
Well, I mean, like,
we'll have to forgive him.
But like Francis McDormand did a Transformers movies as well. Like, I mean, they're taking the money. Like, you know?
I feel like they're very similar as well for some
yeah.
reason.
They are.
It's probably
actually.
The Coen Brothers Association.
That would do
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That would do it. That makes sense.
Okay, we're going to move on to movie reviews. Keep this train a rolling. We've got the horror movie Annabelle Comes Home.
Yeah, this was not good.
Your love of Patrick Wilson didn't see it through.
Our buddy, our pal, Patrick Wilson. He's only in it for 5 minutes.
He looks so good with sideburns also. I just have to say. Doesn't he pull
he does,
up the
doesn't
sideburns?
He?
Oh,
did he have sideburns
just...
in Fargo?
Kinda, a little bit.
Not quite. Like, these are proper, like, 70s.
Like Elvis.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, real yeah. Elvis.
Sorry, we're just like, yeah.
Yeah. He's got them. But he rocks it, though. You know what I mean? Like, he really rocks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Him and Vera Farmiga are hardly in it at all. Like,
really?
It's almost
they're
really...
just the setup to...
Yeah.
Exactly,
no way.
Yeah.
I'm so sure they'd be... cast of it.
That's like. What I thought. And I mean, they've kind of put them like front and center
yes.
on the poster and everything, which I think is slightly misleading for like the Conjuring
the
fans,
cheek.
Just saying.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was it. Like, I went into this being
so
like,
it's very
oh.
much a franchise.
Oh,
spin off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Completely. Like, I mean, it's set up in the way of her, Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, they're the Warrens. It's about how they actually came to get Annabelle in the first place. And it basically shows them putting it in the chapel glass thing.
Yes.
And they have to go off to this conference and they leave their yeah, it's literally that. That's the opening
the
scene.
The keys are on the shelf.
Yeah. It's the opening scene is literally them. Okay, we're going off to this conference for 2 weeks. See you later. And their child, McKenna Grace.
Oh, we almost forgot. Don't open that glass cabinet with the evil doll in
yeah.
it.
And it's like, it's so funny. Like, there's a sign on it. It's like, positive. Do not open. And like,
do they write that?
They
which
write
actually
that.
Almost sounds like positively, as in it's a positive thing to open it.
Positive
so I thought that was,
if open.
I thought it was a terrible
double
phrasing.
Negative. Do not touch Willy. Good advice.
Don't not unlock this door.
Yeah, like that's it. Yeah, no, it's gas. It's gas. But yeah, like the opening scene is literally them like, okay, we're going off on a conference. Don't touch anything in the room. And the little kid is left at home with this like extremely virginal blonde like total 70s final girl trope.
Okay.
Could say she's becoming a woman.
You could say that. I didn't say that, but you could say that.
Do you want to say it?
I don't. And like then she invites her friend over and her friend is a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a munchkin and bit of a troublemaker. And the friend, turns out, has had some sort of personal tragedy.
Oh, no.
And she then decides to break her way into this secret room that's kept in the Warrens' house where they keep all their evil stuff.
If does she know it's evil?
I mean, yeah, they kind of know about it. Yeah, they kind of know about it.
Those cheeky kids.
Those cheeky kids. And then it literally turns into a Scooby-Doo thing. Like, it's literally Scooby-Doo and, like, the, you know, jinkies. And they're finding ghosts all over the house because once they've let Annabelle out, she is this beacon for ghosts and goblins.
And it's completely straight-faced. Is it self-aware? Is
not
it? It's a big trope on wheels.
It's, yeah, that's it. Because, like, what I liked about The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2 was the fact that it was very referential to the likes of the Amityville Horror or
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, exactly. Mm-hmm. And played with it in such a way that it's like, this is a really good cover band. This is like the best possible cover band you're ever going to hear of this particular track. Done well, done with modern techniques, and it'll sound great and you'll love it. This, on the other hand, feels like, and again, I'm using the to continue my music analogy, this is like a pub band.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to do the Eagles or trying to do, I don't know, Fleetwood Mac. It's like, it's good, it's serviceable, but I've heard so much better. Why are you doing this? Like, and like,
great analogy, jeez.
But the whole time I was watching, I was like, this is fine. This is totally okay. I've seen this.
They're just doing the things that horror movies do.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I mean, I didn't think it was as bad as The Curse of La Llorona, which I saw earlier this year. And that was just...
Was that really
dreadful.
That bad?
Yeah. It was really, really bad. But it was like enjoyably bad. Whereas this almost felt kind of awkwardly in between in that it wasn't scary enough for like people who are going to these films looking for
really,
a scare.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't kind of bad enough to be funny and enjoyable.
The trailer kind of sells it as pretty decently scary.
Yeah, I mean, it had the odd good jump scare, I'll give it that. Whereas, like, the problem with The Curse of La Llorona is that if you thought someone was going to appear in a mirror, she was going to appear in a mirror.
It so, like, exactly,
and
as
it happened
you guessed,
exactly. Or now she's there, she's totally going to appear here in the next shot, and she did.
Yeah.
And in that way, it just lost any kind of scare factor whatsoever, which was fine for me because I don't like scare. But at the same time, like, I like the odd scare if it's a horror and it's to kind of purpose what it's made for, you know. And this one did have slightly more scares, but still generally quite cliched, quite predictable. I mean, it's still interesting how huge a fan following the Conjuring universe has, because this is the, I think it's the 7th or the 8th movie that
crazy.
They've made.
Yeah.
And they keep on jumping throughout time with these movies. So, like, for example, like The Nun went way, way back to like this setting before any of the Conjuring movies, I think. And same with Annabelle Creation, which is the last Annabelle movie they made before this. And this one actually takes place between The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2, even though both of them have already come out. So it's kind of a weird thing, but I think the whole idea of the way they're setting up this universe is that, like, the diehard fans will go to all these movies and kind of think of them as putting all the pieces together.
Yes.
But they're not really.
Why do you
they're
really
just
need
like,
that kind of closure?
But as well, like, they're just, like, they're kind of bitty references to each other in it. Like, I remember The Nun popped up at Annabelle Creation at one point, and the only reason I knew that was The Nun was because of, you know, the popular iconography around that character and everything. But generally, it's not like there are enough Easter eggs and enough like really interesting, oh, so that's why that is that. To really make this kind of intricate puzzle. I mean, they're all just like kind of basic horror movies at the end of the day.
Yeah. And like, what's gas as well is the fact that, like, you can really see when James Wan kind of has more of an input, and he's like, okay, this thing is on autopilot now. You don't need me, goodbye, I'm going to go off to make Aquaman.
Yes.
And, you know, like, I think, like, there's enough horror films out there, there's enough of these kind of things. Like, I mean, you know you can go into Annabelle Comes Home and just like, I just want, you know, 100 minutes of
Simon Delaney.
Simon. Yeah. No, hang on. Like, The Conjuring 2 is actually...
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's really good. And like, what I loved about The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2, and Simon Delaney talked about this, is the fact that, like, when you go and watch that film, they use real practical effects to do it. Like, when you see the chair flicking across the room, there's actually
the behind the scenes on those kind of things are amazing.
They're so smart.
Interesting.
Like, it's all like piano wires, and it's like literally one dude yanking it to give it the whole thing. With Annabelle Comes Home, I mean, there were practical effects and there were kind of little bits and bobs, but it just was done in such a flat way. Mm-hmm. And it was done without any kind of technicality, and it was just very, very predictable and safe. And even the characterization of it, like, was done really blandly, like, as in, like, oh, the little girl is being bullied and people think she's a bit weird. And,
yes.
You know, the girl, the babysitter has a boyfriend, and oh, it's, oh, yeah, there's a bit of a
well,
budding.
She doesn't have a boyfriend, but she has a crush.
She has a crush, like, yeah, and it's a little bit of a, yeah.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
Exactly. And then, like, her friend is, oh, she's a little bit she's a little bit of a wild girl, but there's a reason she's a wild girl.
Yeah.
It's because she's sad. And, like, you know, like, it's just, like, again, the whole thing about the Conjuring series has been is that they will embrace these tropes and not even have to do it in a kind of, oh, we're going to turn it on its head and do something else. They'll be like, no, we're going to make this as if this was a film in the 70s.
Yes, yeah.
But Annabelle Comes Home just doesn't have...
It doesn't know what it is.
It doesn't know what it is.
Even though it has that 70s backdrop, I didn't feel like they kind of utilized it as much as they could. Yeah.
And then to be a devil's advocate, it sounds like a dismal one star, but is it serviceable?
There are parts of it where it is good. But
I think I would give it 2.
Yeah, I
gave
it 2.
And I gave The Curse of La Llorona 1.5. So it's just that slight bit above it in terms of being kind of watchable.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
fair enough. There you have it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not terrible. It's just not good. It's just eh.
Actually, speaking of, I wonder if we should give a shout out just on the note of you saying there are enough horrors out there. Midsommar, we didn't get to review on the show
last year.
And you saw it and thought it was great. So that's the thing. There are these amazing original horrors being made out there. And like Ari Aster and Jordan Peele, of course, would be another example of that. And that's what we want to see more of, people, not just these franchises.
Yeah,
it seems Midsommar is doing really well.
Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. I had such a ball watching this film. I loved it. It was hilarious. It was fucked up. It was scary. The performances were brilliant. The story behind it was brilliant. It was such a good film. But having said that, it's weird because I was watching it and it was like, you know, they were selling this as a horror. This is hilarious. It's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really, really funny. And then that thing of like...
It's that kind of Scandi deadpan or something.
Exactly. Exactly that. That's exactly it. That Scandinavian thing.
Is that a thing? But I know what you mean, yeah.
You know, like Force Majeure or like... Yes, what was that one? The Square. That kind of thing of like everyone's kind of like... Like
quite chirpy or something.
Am I chirpy to laugh here?
And it's like, am I supposed to laugh at this? Yeah, and it's like, oh, fuck, wow. Oh, wow, I'm really laughing. Like, I saw it, like, the first night it screened in The Lighthouse. And people were cracking up.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's so tense as well.
It's so tense. And you're like, oh, my God, this is so funny. I can laugh. Like, but, oh, my God, Midsommar, Jesus. Watch that before.
Go see that. Yeah.
Go see, like... God, go see that. So good. So, so good.
Actually, just picking up one other shout out here. You know what film has actually stuck with me? And Brian, you've seen this as well. The last really good, I don't know if I can call it original because technically it's a remake, but a horror that's properly stayed with me for weeks. Suspiria. I've been thinking about it a lot recently.
I never saw it.
Now, I never saw the original, whereas you had seen the original. Yeah. And I mean, just in terms of the visuals in it were just incredible. I mean, it was so, again, like for Midsommar, so messed up and creepy. And the performances were amazing. Tilda Swinton, with who plays not two, but three characters, as you will see if you watch the film.
Yeah.
The third one is like, oh my God, what are you doing, Tilda? But then again, it's Tilda Swinton, so she'll do whatever the hell she wants.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's such, I mean, I don't know if I could make myself watch it again unless I'm unless I'm in the mood. You have to be in a really particular mood. But it is, I have to say, it's kind of brilliant in its own way.
It
you
is.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, God. I mean, like, no. Suspiria was brilliant, but like, Jesus, I couldn't watch that film again. No way.
See, I love the dance.
A real romp.
Yeah, you would because you do dance anyway.
Like that's like how that I've seen like, now, I don't know if I'd watch it a third time, but like I've seen Black Swan a couple of times, and that's also one that's it. Like, how could you rewatch that?
How can you sit through that again? Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, no, I get that 100%. And like the music that Tom York did for it was incredible as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a really good, but it's so funny because you look at Suspiria and then you look at the original and they're completely not marked together at all.
Brilliant,
like,
like
the Suspiria remake is absolutely its own thing. Like I would put it in the same boat as Raw or Midsommar or Hereditary.
I love Raw.
You love Raw, yeah.
Yes.
It is in that idea of like a really intelligent and smart and fucked up horror film.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go.
Tilda Swinton's perfect for it.
Perfect for it.
Shout out before I forget to the @NotTildaSwinton Twitter account. Do you remember this?
God.
She had her own parody account that someone had set up where they just spoke.
Like Tilda
Swinton.
I'm
going to read out a tweet here. Have you ever caught a firefly in your mouth? I collected 13. My head gleaming, I was a beacon for my animal friends. There's about 500 of these, and they're amazing.
That's so Tilda.
But there is, I mean, there
she
was...
She can do what she likes.
She can do what she likes, but there was that great quote that she had when they were doing the behind-the-scenes thing for Isle of Dogs. Remember that?
Remember her character was
the Oracle.
The Oracle,
yeah.
And she had, like, two lines.
Yeah.
And yet you knew that that was Tilda
Swinton. That was
Swinton
Tilda Swinton
in
the whole
room.
Time.
Of course
even,
it was.
Even when the dog wasn't speaking, you were like, that dog is Tilda Swinton.
That's going to be...
that dog is totally Tilda. No, the quote that she said was like, the heart of a dog. It's a bottomless thing. A dog is described, it is a shih tzu, which is
it's the same reason she was cast in Doctor Strange. She's sought out as this like
this kind of like really weird, creepy, not even creepy, but just kind of kooky.
Yeah,
she's
a legend.
She's a kook. She's a total kook.
All right, we've got one more, which is Stuber.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I actually, shout out, I once interviewed Dave Bautista.
You did?
On
lovely
the phone.
Man.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get to meet him because for whatever reason, dates got confused.
Oh, he was doing that Premier League movie.
Yes.
Yes. Which, by
Final
the way,
score.
I am sticking by. Final Score is a great movie. I think I gave it 4 stars or something.
You did?
And I'm sticking by it because it is pure action fun. It is exactly what you want. That's what I wanted Skyscraper to be.
Yeah,
that is exactly
yeah. Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like to be fun and stupid and over the top and just go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like with crazy ass stunts and oh, it was such a fun film.
So
yes.
Stuber?
Is
so
the Bautista
no.
like glow still working on you? Or?
Oh, so just my
give
segue
us the background,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so for the Dave Bautista thing though, for the interview I did with him, so I wasn't able to meet up with him. So meet him face to face. So it ended up being a phoner, but as a result, I got more time with him. I got something like, I think it was 18 minutes, I want to say. But one of the movies that he mentioned that he was excited that was coming out was Stuber. Oh, and we also geeked out a bit about that one that nobody watched and nobody liked, but it's really good. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I've forgotten the name of it. And it has your one Sofia Boutella in it and everything. Oh, it's so good.
The Mummy.
No, it was not The Mummy.
Sofia Boutella and Dave Bautista, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It? And Jodie Foster. It was Hotel
Artemis.
Hotel
Artemis.
Artemis.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That was a
that's
film.
Really good. So I'm really hoping that that eventually picks up cult status. But
at least
not
we're giving
Stuber.
People recommendations this week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But don't see Stuber. So it's funny. The ones that we're reviewing this week is like, bleh. No, you know what it is? It's, first of all, John Wick has us completely spoiled when it comes to the direction of action.
Yeah.
Because this film was like, for all the action scenes in it, because it's an action comedy, that is the genre of it, there's so much shaky camera. I can't tell what the heck's going on. And I know people think that, oh, that looks good. It doesn't look good. It looks absolutely rubbish. And another film, remember, what was it called? 12 Mile or something last year with Iko Uwe, Mark Wahlberg.
Oh my God. I hated that
film.
What
was it called again?
The guy from The Raid.
Yeah, it was Mile 22.
Mile 22. Sorry, I knew it had a number in it. But Mile 22, a similar issue with that film, with this film. And that
they
you
use
have,
cuts to hide the
yes.
action.
Have,
we
but
talked
the
about
thing
this
is,
before.
You have
yeah.
Iko Uwe, who is an amazing, like, fight and stunts guy.
Choreographer
and
as well,
why
yeah.
the heck are you like cutting up his action? He looks fantastic when he's moving, and then when you cut it like that and when you have the shaky camera, I can't see what the hell he's doing. So why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why even cast him if you're just going to cut your movie that way?
The last
what is
time
the point?
I'm going to do an aside for anyone at home, check out Every Frame of Painting, the famous movie essays. Tony Zhu, he talks about why Jackie Chan is the best martial artist ever in a film, and it's because long takes, wide angle
there
ends, choreographed action. Mm-hmm. You know where it's going. Nothing can be hidden because they're also well trained.
That's exactly it.
And he talks about like the Marvel franchise and stuff and how that's the antithesis of it, where none of the punches feel like they connect because the cuts, they're just chop, 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 chop.
Well, honestly, there are worse movies out there than the Marvel ones and Mod 22. And in terms of action anyway, Stuber would be up there. Now, in terms of the other genre it's hitting on, which is comedy, I felt like the first kind of half hour, 40 minutes, all the jokes fell flat. But once the two characters are actually united, so you have Kumail Nanjiani, who is playing Stu, who is this... he works in a sports goods store, but he is also an Uber driver, and the Uber driving is kind of his main gig. And he picks up Dave Bautista's character, whose name is Vic, who is a cop who is after this criminal, the criminal being played by Iko Uwe. So Stu is like, oh no, why are you throwing me in all these situations? And I'm going to die. And there are guns being shot off everywhere. And eventually I did kind of warm up to it. And Kumail Nanjiani, he does have the best lines. I would have liked to see. He is very funny. I would have liked to see a bit more comedy from Dave Bautista, because we know he can be very funny, like in Guardians of the Galaxy. But I think
he's
that was...
man in this.
Exactly. They decide to make him kind of the straight man, which I thought was a shame. But I suppose
it's not a two act. It's just to bring out.
Well, it does work as a two act, and Dave has his moments as well. But I don't know. I just don't find him as much fun as the straight man as I do when he's kind of goofy, like his character is in Guardians. So.
Yeah.
So it's grand. And I mean, the story is very kind of predictable the numbers. You have a few other interesting performances in there, but quite small, from like the likes of Karen Gillan, and your one from Glow is in it too. It has its funny moments, which is why I gave it 2.5. But my reason for not giving it any more than that was because genuinely I thought the action looked crap.
Right.
Yeah. And because the plot is...
Does the action only come into it in a way like... the other guys are Jump Street or something?
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of random scenes. So like there's an action opening scene, obviously, and closing scenes. Course, and it's kind of dotted in the middle because like it's a cop kind of narrative as well. But yeah, just plot wise, very basic. Comedy wise, it does pick up, but probably not enough laughs in it for me to give it 3 or more, which might sound harsh. But I mean, that's the thing. The average movie out there is about like 3 stars, which is why you have to reserve
2.5 stars is the average.
2.5 or 3. I feel my average is 3 because usually I'm nice.
Nobody's average is 2.5, yeah.
But like, that's why I think you have to reserve the 4 and 5 star reviews. And I sometimes get like given out to, especially, I don't know if you find the same, Brian, for like radio and TV gigs. They're like, oh, that's so harsh. But it's like, I'm not going to recommend it.
People don't like hearing the 3 star. That means it's terrible.
But like, I'm not going to tell people to go and spend their money on a film I genuinely don't think they'll like, because I don't think it's a good film.
Yeah, I mean, like, not even that as well, but the fact is that like going to the cinema nowadays is pretty expensive.
It is,
like, it's expensive. So like, I mean, you don't like, obviously, you know, your taste and my taste are different, but the idea is that, okay, I think generally speaking this is a good film. Everyone will enjoy this. So absolutely, I mean, even at that, you're kind of like, okay, everyone will enjoy this. Does that mean then that it is somehow lacking because it has a broad appeal?
Like, you know, Endgame or something.
You look at something like Endgame, you're like saying, oh yeah, that's a 4-star film. And
It's still got depth and
it
stuff.
It still has depth, but at the same time, you're kind of like, well, it's got broad appeal, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, it's hard to, because I do feel like as a movie reviewer or movie critic or whatever you want to call it, whatever wanky term. But
well, famously, like, you've got Rotten Tomatoes status, and Brian as yet doesn't.
It actually came through in the end. I finally got it. Yes! It finally came through.
You're an official critic. Finally.
Like, I've actually been doing it
way
longer.
He actually screenshotted me the email and sent it to me. He was so happy, which was kind of sweet. I had it my day.
I did. I'm
happy for you. That's brilliant.
I'm very happy. My account is kind of shagged, though. I can't upload.
Dormant.
No, there's some sort of mix-up or whatever.
Oh, send them an email about that.
I did. I've been talking to the lady from Rotten Tomatoes to try to get it fixed for the last, like, 3 weeks.
Also, I've noticed sometimes for, like, brand new movies, it's weird. You can't, like, add a review right away. And I don't know if it's because they've so many people going into movies that have just come out or something. But anyway,
I
was going to say, but I do feel like when I'm watching a movie and, like, say it's real, like girly or something, I'm like, well, if I'm watching this and I quite like it because I can kind of relate to it, and then if I give it a generous review, and then if someone else watches it and they're like, oh, I'm not really into it. I know that girly is kind of the wrong word to use, but you know how there are more like female oriented movies with like female leads and stuff.
Maybe
you know,
it's just because the inverse is the default Is that like...
I think my point is that I hope that people will take more into account like actual reviewers. And I think that a lot of movie fans do that, because like if you like read a bunch of my reviews, you'll see consistently my taste.
Yeah,
and then you'll know if you can relate to that.
You need to
sense
find people
taste,
you can trust.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, ultimately, I think that's it for people, is that like they want to find a reviewer that they're... taste aligns with theirs, and like, okay, well, he liked this and I like this, so I will go to read him. Or she liked that film and hated that film, and I definitely hated that film, and we were both in the same mind.
Yeah,
and that's I mean, that's to me, that's it usually.
If there was only a way we could turn that into an audio interview,
right?
And have people regularly tune in,
regularly offer their opinions. But wait, there is,
and it's now complete. Well done, another week, Dan.
Oh,
it was a very enjoyable film show.
That was so such a good, nice ending.
Yeah,
nice
hey, ending. I'm getting there.
We're getting there.
Thanks very much for listening at home, and. Yeah, we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Slán a while you.
Slán.
I didn't know.